Shalom, Berachot. Many blessings of peace. This is Dr. Akiva Gamliel of B'nai Noach Torah Institute, JewishPath.org, and SevenCommands.com. Welcome. Thank you for joining with me. Our Divrei Torah Lamud is entitled Gathering the Flocks. And our Divrei Torah Lamud is in Sefer Bereishit, Perek Kof Tet. And that's chapter 29. That's from verse 1 to about verse 8. Pasukim Aleph to Chet. Now, our Divrei Torah Lamud is in the loving memory of Mr. Arnold Student Littman, Mrs. Ethel Khanna Sakash Belk, and Mr. George Belk. May they rest in peace. Dear ones, in the notes, you'll see that we have 8 pasukim of HaTorah. And I wanted to put all of the verses there, so anyone that wanted to read them in Hebrew would be able to do so. The first pasuk is Yaakov lifted his feet and went toward the land of the people of the east. He looked and saw a well in the field, and behold, there were 3 flocks of sheep lying beside it. That's Pasuk 2, Bet. For from that well the flocks were watered. There was a large stone over the mouth of the well. When all the flocks were gathered, the shepherds would roll the stone from the well's mouth and water the sheep. They would then return the stone to its place over the mouth of the well. Now, dear ones, this is the story that we're wanting to discuss. This is the story that we want to center in on. And in our notes, we've indicated that the sages have a considerable amount of commentary regarding the 3 flocks. Some teach that symbolically they're pilgrims ascending to the Beit HaMikdash during the free festivals that all of the men of B'nai Yisrael are required to participate in. That's Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. Others say the 3 flocks represent the 3 rolls of scholars that sit in front of the Sanhedrin. Some scholars say that the 3 flocks represent Moshe, Aaron, and Miriam. And certainly, when we look at the wells that surround Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, it's very interesting because we know that when Miriam died, for example, the water quit flowing from the rock. And we see some similarities there that are very interesting. Others say the priests, the Levites, and the ordinary Israelites. There's many different and interesting opinions about the 3 flocks. Honestly, I don't know who the 3 flocks represent. Now, that doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. Of course I do. We all have opinions, thank God. But the point being is that there are many concepts, many ideas, a lot of commentary regarding the 3 flocks. And the reason there's so much commentary is because the very fact that HaTorah identifies that there's 3 flocks, that's significant. That's extremely significant. If the Torah had have just said there were sheep there, then the whole concept dramatically changes. But because HaTorah says there's 3 flocks, that has a very special meaning. And when we look at the fact that every letter, every word, every phrase, every sentence, every paragraph, every chapter of HaTorah has over 5,000 interpretations, meanings, we recognize this is a flashing neon sign which is saying something is being conveyed here that's really important. Otherwise, we would not have pointed out, HaTorah would not have pointed out that there were 3 flocks involved there. Now, we know the story that Yaakov who was 77 years old. And if you really want to go back and determine that he's 77 years old, it's easy to do. Abraham was 100 years old when Yitzhak was born. Yitzhak was 60 years old when Esav and Yaakov were born. And then we know that Ishmael died at the age of 137 years. So we know that there were 14 years between Ishmael and Yitzhak. So if you take 14 away from 137, that tells us that Yitzhak was 123. And if you take 60, where the boys were born, away from 123, that tells us that Esav and Yaakov at the death of Ishmael were 63. Now, the Torah focuses in on the time when Yaakov left his father. And that was the time that Esav married the daughter of Ishmael. And our sages say that the Torah points out the daughter of Ishmael, the son of Abraham, and sister of Nevarot. So the reason the brother is named there is because our sages tell us that's when Ishmael died, at 137. And so we know then that Yaakov studied in the house of Shem and Eber, the academy of Shem and Eber, for 14 years. So when he arrived there at this well, 63 plus 14 is 77. He was 77 years old. Now, if you have questions about that, you can also go backwards, and you can go from when he died in Mitzrayim and count backwards, and you'll also come up with the same total. The point is that he was 77 years old, and here these shepherds were waiting at this well, and they could not remove the stone. They were waiting for all the other shepherds to arrive so that together, as a team, they could remove the stone. And so what does Yaakov do? Yaakov ben Yitzhak walks up and he removes the stone by himself. Now, one would say that he was a very strong man. And of course, physically, we could see that if the other shepherds could not move the stone, then and Yaakov could, that would indicate that indeed he was a strong man. But we want to understand that this story has a lot of symbolism in it. And the symbolism here is very, very important because of what it has to say for B'nai Noachites, for spiritualists. You see, the point is these shepherds are waiting for all the shepherds to come. They're waiting for all the flocks to come so that together they can remove the rock, this heavy rock, off of the well. Now, if we look at this from the point of view of spirituality, let's think about this for a minute. Yaakov has just spent 14 years studying in the academy of Shem and Ever. It's tremendously endowed with great spirituality, taught the words of HaTorah, the observances of HaTorah. He is by far superior spiritually to all of those shepherds that are waiting there. Then we know that just the night before, he had had an incredible encounter spiritually. And he had seen the windows of the heaven open and this ladder being ascended to the earth. And angels ascending and descending and having a communication with the creator of the universe. And making an agreement with the creator of the universe. So here he arrives at this well. And spiritually, he has the ability to lift this heavy stone from off of the mouth of the well. And the spiritual side of this is he was able to instruct, he was able to teach, he was able to direct the shepherds that were waiting there at the well because he was so much more spiritually endowed ahead of them, knowledgeably speaking about HaTorah. And so he was able to impart words to the shepherds. Now, of course, we know that Mashiach will come from one of the descendants of Yaakov. So we know that, in fact, that Yaakov is actually symbolic of the Mashiach that will roll away the stone and provide HaTorah to all the flocks. Now, we just reviewed the first three pasukim of Bereshit Kuf Tet. Now, we want to look at the last two of this discussion. That's Pasuk Zion and Pasuk Chet. We see in Pasuk Zion that Yaakov said that the day is long. Behold, the length of the day is great. It is not time to gather the herd. Water the sheep, then go shepherd them. And the shepherds said to Yaakov that we cannot until all, this is so important here, until all the flocks are gathered and everything from Aleph to Tav of the stone is rolled from upon the mouth of the well. Then we can water the sheep. Now, this is an important point to remember. You know, I don't know the actual symbolism of the three flocks. I'm going to talk about what I believe it to be. But I know this, that these shepherds are waiting there until all the sheep can be watered, until all the flocks are present, until all the shepherds are present. And so when we look at this word, and we're going to tell you, if you look at the notes, you'll see the word, Ye'asifu kol ha'adarim. And the word Ye'asifu kol ha'adarim is gather all the flocks. We got to wait to move this stone until we've gathered all the flocks. And so this poses a most interesting question, especially because the word call means all, everything. And because the word for flocks here is ha'adarim, which is plural. So we know that B'nai Yisrael is thought of as being a flock. We could say 12 flocks, one for each of the sons of Yaakov. But in actuality, we are the sheep and Hashem is the shepherd. And so B'nai Yisrael is one flock, but yet we see here the term for flocks is plural. And because the term for flocks is plural, we understand there are more than one flock that must be gathered. And we know that there's already three flocks there. And so here we have a statement that we have to wait until all the flocks are gathered. Now, if there was only one flock that was yet to be gathered, then the statement wouldn't be plural. The statement would say, we must wait for one more flock. But here it says all the flocks. So we recognize the plurality of the word, and we recognize the word call. All the flocks. So that's really important for B'nai Noachites. That's really important for spiritualists. Because, you see, as soon as they make this statement, Rachel comes with her flock. And that leads us to believe that the flocks that are remaining to be gathered are of B'nai Yisrael. Because she is of B'nai Yisrael. And her flock is of B'nai Yisrael. And the shepherds could not remove the stone until the flocks, until the shepherds of B'nai Yisrael would arrive and help them remove the stone from the well. Now, we also understand that there's a gematria to the word Ye'asifu kol ha'adarim. And the gematria is 536. This is also the same gematria for Mami Lechut. And Mami Lechut means kingdoms. And we recognize that in Tehillim, the writer says, pour out your wrath upon the heathen that they have not known you, and upon the kingdoms that have not called upon your name. So we recognize the implication is that the kingdoms that didn't obey, that the kingdoms that didn't cooperate are going to be punished. And we recognize that the reason they're going to be punished is because they didn't call upon the name of Hashem. And we see in Tehillim 68:32, sing to Hashem, you kingdoms of the earth. Oh, sing praises to Hashem, Selah. And so we recognize that the kingdoms of the earth have a requirement to call on the name of Hashem. They have a requirement to praise Hashem. And we see in Tehillim 102, but you, Hashem, shall endure forever, and your remembrance to all generations. You shall arise and have mercy on Sion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the time is come. The set time is come. Remember, the set time, that's very important in considering this verse here, the set time. For your servants take pleasure in her stones and the favor of the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of Hashem, and all the kings of the earth your glory. When Hashem will build up Sion, he shall appear in his glory. He will regard the prayer of the destitute, and not despise their prayer. This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise Hashem. For he looks down from the heights of his sanctuary, from heaven to earth, Hashem viewed, to hear the groaning of the prisoner, to loosen those that are appointed to death, to declare the name of Hashem in Sion, and his praise in Yerushalayim, when the people are gathered together, and the kingdoms to serve Hashem. So this is what we're talking about with the word Ye'asifu Kol Ha'adarim, when all the flocks are gathered. And that's the same concept when we have Ma Melichut, the kingdoms. And so when all the flocks are gathered, when the kingdoms come together to serve Hashem, we know that the great writer Isaiah says, the Novi Isaiah says, Hashem of hosts, God of Israel that dwells between the cherubims, your God, even you alone, over all the kingdoms of the earth, you made heaven and earth. Now therefore, Hashem our God, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are Hashem, even you alone. So dear ones, we see in the symbolism of Yaakov arriving at this well, that there are three flocks. I believe the flocks to be the Yisrael, the house of Aaron, which includes the Kohanim and the Levites, the Levim, and I believe the other flock to be that of B'nai Noach, spiritualists, the righteous Noachites. And so we understand then that there are three flocks there at the well. And we're still waiting for more of B'nai Yisrael to come, for more of B'nai Yisrael to join in. And so we understand that the word Adarim has a meaning that could be understood, the ornery ones, the rascals, the ornery crowds, the mobs, the ones that haven't done everything that they should have done. That could be representative of them, the B'nai Yisrael that need to cooperate, the B'nai Yisrael that need to follow HaTorah, the B'nai Yisrael that need to do the things that HaTorah requires. And so we see them out there, and they're the ones that have to come and help remove the stone. They're the ones that have to come and help remove the stone so that everyone can drink from the well. And so that won't happen until all the flocks are gathered. That won't happen until everyone is included. Now we know that part of that inclusion is talked about in Isaiah, where the great Novi says, "And I will bring them to my holy mountain. I will gladden them in my house of prayer." Their elevation offerings. B'nai Yisrael can offer elevation offerings, and B'nai Yisrael can offer feast offerings. And here we see that Hashem is saying their elevation offerings and their feast offerings will find favor on my altar, or my house will be called the house of prayer for all nations. But we've just recently discussed that before Passover, thousands of years ago, Adam HaRishon, Adam the first man, came to Cain and to Hevel and told them that at a future date, B'nai Yisrael would have lamb offerings and that God would look favorably upon them if they wanted to remember this date in their life down through history. And so we know that to be the very day in Bereshit Daled, in chapter 4, where Cain brought the spoiled flax seed, God forbid. And we recognize that day to be the day that Hevel brought from the firstlings of his flock, from the very best that he had, that he brought. He brought cheese, and he brought milk, and he brought cream, and he brought wool. And this is the offering that he brought. Now, it wasn't a blood sacrifice. It was just simply products from what he owned. And that was his offering. And so we recognize that while B'nai Yisrael, their offering will be a sacrifice, a sacrifice of animals, yet B'nai Noach will have an offering to bring also. But the offering will not necessarily be an offering of sacrificing animals. That it could actually be an age-old offering of bringing cheese and bringing milk and cream and wool and seeds from the best of the earth. And so we recognize the potential here for both B'nai Yisrael and B'nai Noach to offer offerings to Hashem. They're just different kinds of offerings. And we recognize the potential of offering the elevation offering. And so what we see here in this story of Yaakov coming to the well, we see that individuals that are spiritualists, individuals that are B'nai Noachites, no, you're not B'nai Yisrael, but you're still precious to Hashem. You're still a precious flock, and you are a flock, and you are precious to Hashem. And so Hashem is the shepherd of B'nai Yisrael, and B'nai Yisrael is actually the shepherd of B'nai Noach. And we see that because there we are, waiting for B'nai Noach to come, the shepherds of B'nai Noach to come and help remove the stone. Yes, there are some there, but we're still waiting for the others to come to help remove the stone. Dear ones, I want to thank you for joining with me, and I pray that all of us will be in awe of our Creator, because that's the requirement to be of the flock of B'nai Noach. That is the requirement to be righteous of the B'nai Noach, to be in awe of Hashem, to be tremendously in awe of Hashem, to honor Hashem with great reverence, with great fear, and to do the things that Hashem has commanded for B'nai Noach. Thank you for joining with me. Shalom, shalom.